Gospel, chapter number 24. I was preaching in Tennessee this last week, and I got on with the sermon. A lady come to me after church, and she said, I liked the sermon except for one thing. I said, oh my, I'm supposed to get chewed out a long way from home tonight. She said, your preaching is way too short. I said, well, you just haven't been to Liberty Baptist Church very long. Amen. But I know you got a busy day today, but I do want to mind the Lord. I will try my best to be brief this morning. And my heart is so full of joy that Jesus died for sinners, got up out of the grave that we could have eternal life. Then I'm thankful for the mom and daddies today that's brought these children to our service. And we're so blessed, and I'm thankful that God has given new life spiritually and physically at Liberty Baptist Church. The book of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24, verse number 1. Let's stand around the house for the reading of the Word of God. Just a few verses this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24. If you'd turn me up a little bit, my voice is weak today. Luke 24, verse number 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And look what they found. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. They were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. You may be seated today. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. I've got several areas I could go in this text. But I want to ask you, as we start this sermon, have you heard the good news? Not only did Jesus die for your sins, but on the third day he got out of the grave. He ascended to the heaven. He sprinkled the mercy seat with his blood, according to the book of Hebrews. Now he sits on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and I. I'm glad I've got somebody that's looking out after me. Now in this text, you've got to understand something. There were many disciples here that followed the Lord. Disciples simply mean a follower of Christ. But now he's died. Many are confused. Their leader has died. They went to the grave to find him, to bring spices to the burial, and he's not there. You know why? The Bible tells me why the resurrection morning is so important. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is also vain. Yeah, we are found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, when He went on the cross and died for our sins, He had to be resurrected to life upon the third day. He stood victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because He lives, you and I can live this morning. You see, if He would have stayed in that grave, we'd have had no hope to live again. Because now we are in Christ, we too can live again. Now in this text, in Luke 24, I want you to notice just a few things very important to our life in this day in which we live. They went to the tomb, they could not find Him. By the way, the Bible said that they were very much perplexed. They were wondering in their mind what had went on. Verse 13, and behold, of Luke 24, behold, two of them, they went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. They were about 7 miles from home, from Jerusalem. Some folks say that this was a man and his wife. I'll not say who it was, but I'll simply say what the Bible said it was. It was two of them. They went to that grave, they could not find Him, and they're going back home to Emmaus, two of them walking together. The Bible said, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know them. And He said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and you're sad? Now Jesus comes to them. They did not recognize Him. They get back down to their house, and the Bible says this, the verse 29. They constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent. He went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass as He set at meat with them. This is after the resurrection on that Easter morning. He took bread, and He blessed it, and He broke, and He gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. They said this phrase. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened us the Scriptures? They arose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. The Lord has risen indeed, hath appeared to Simon. And watch your Bible, verse 35. And they told what things were done in the way, how He was known of them in breaking of bread. Father, we love You today. We thank You for this time together. Pray now You'd use us to be a blessing to the people of God. If there'd be one here lost today that has never trusted Christ, I pray that this would be the day that You would knock upon their heart. They could come to You by faith and be eternally saved by the good grace of God. Thank You for this day that we celebrate. We'll be careful to honor You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, I want to preach this morning on this simple thought, just a few minutes, on simply cold hearts and clouded minds. Cold hearts, clouded minds. They said, you know, it's something about this man. Once he's come in the house with us and broke bread, we've recognized who he is. And they said, by the way, didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, by the way? If there's ever been a day and an hour when there's so many Christians that have a cold heart, it is in this day, in this hour. Many said they were very perplexed in their minds, not only cold hearts, but their clouded minds. Now let's see what the Lord does in this text. It's a very powerful powerful text in Luke 24. Notice, first of all, the folks on the way home. There were two together walking, going back, and they were very discouraged. They was in a dark place. They didn't really understand what had happened to them, but you'll notice that two of them was walking together. I thank God that there are some folks on the way home walking with us this morning. I'm glad that we've gathered together and we have some folks in our life. Where would we be without people to walk on the road home with us in this day and this hour? I'm thankful for my friends and my family. Matter of fact, today it's already been mentioned, when we leave this place, we'll have family come to our house and we'll gather together. We'll thank God in prayer over the food and we'll fellowship through the evening. I'm thankful for some folks on the way home. They're walking together. I'm glad I've got a good wife this morning. Many said that this was a husband and a wife team. I don't know about that, but I sure am grateful that I've got a wife this morning. I'm glad I'm not confused about what God said about marriage, a man and a woman. Somebody say amen this morning. And I'm thankful for some folks on the way home. You'll notice they were walking and they were talking. They were talking to one another the things that had happened. My goodness, if there's ever been a day and an hour when folks are walking and talking with their head down, it is in this day and this hour. But not only are there some folks on the way home, they were headed back to their house to Emmaus, but there are some facts on the way home. You know, there are some good facts that would help us as the people of God today. As I heard the choir sing and as I see people fellowship and commune together, the Lord comes to these two. And so there are some facts on the way home. Look what He says in verse 17. He said to them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" Now, I want to say, first of all, these facts on the way home. What would these facts be? First of all, a great fact is don't mingle with discouraging talk. Look at verse 17. He said to them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" That they're walking and they're talking about bad things. Let me tell you something. There's enough bad going on in this world. We need to be talking about some positive things. That Jesus loves you. And quit looking around at what you don't have and thank God for what you do have this morning. And oh my goodness, we see that these facts on the way home. Simply don't mingle with discouraging talk. If you see somebody coming up to you and you know they're going to talk about bad things, just say, "Hey, give me some space this morning." Some folks, every time they come to you, they tell you about what all's wrong and how bad everything is. Just say, "Hold on, I'm having a good day and the Lord's been good to me." And boy, if you just go to looking up, and my goodness, don't mingle with discouraging talk. It's catching. It'll get around on you like the flu. Somebody say amen. Oh, these facts on the way home. Don't mingle in discouraging talk. Then secondly, look at verse 18. It tickles me what the Lord done. Don't major on disturbing things. He comes to them. They don't even know it's the Lord. Look what He says. One of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said unto Him, "Aren't thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" Look what He says in verse 19. He said unto them, "What things?" They said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, "He is a prophet, mighty indeed, word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him." Preacher, these facts on the way home. Yeah, don't mingle with discouraging talk, but secondly, don't major on disturbing things. Jesus said, "What are y'all so troubled about?" And they said, "Hadn't you heard about these things?" And Jesus said, "What things?" They said, "Oh, we've been watching Fox News all week, and we've been reading the newspapers all week, and Everybody's going crazy. Folks don't even know what they are no more. And Jesus said, hey, look up here. Can I tell you this morning, church, quit looking around and look to where He is, for He's a good God this morning. And when we're going to heaven, I'm glad my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, clouded minds, we get so distracted of the things that is going on. You know, the devil's good at getting us distracted on Easter, on resurrection morning. Probably the most important day in the Christian life, that Sunday. They started going to church on Sunday. That's why we go to church on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. And here on this church service, they've left and the Lord is coming. Don't you know that the Lord realizes how sidetracked they had got? And oh, we must realize how sidetracked we've got. On Easter Sunday, it's become about so many other things except the main thing. And that's Christ that got out of the grave. And so here, these facts don't mingle with discouraging talk. Don't major on disturbing things. In verse 21, look what they said. Don't meditate on disrupting thoughts. They told them something. And I believe it. Could be any of us this morning in the same phrase, but we trusted that it had been. In other words, they were no longer trusting. They used to, but they no longer was. Let me ask you, can you say that this morning, that we trusted that it should have been? It just didn't work out the way I thought. And I come to tell you today, if you're living, life's going to deal with you some hard circumstances. If you're trying to figure out everything that has ever happened, it's going to keep you real busy. Matter of fact, the Bible said in verse 15 that they had communed together and they were reasoning in their hearts about the things that had happened. So many times we have questions. I've often heard people say this, it's wrong to ask God why. His Son asked Him why on the cross, why? Can I tell you, it's okay to ask God why things have happened in your life, but you may never get the answer till we get home. But I sure am glad He knows the answer. Now, it takes me to the third point. I want you to see something, and I want this to help somebody this morning. I saw this studying this week. I've never noticed this in this passage. You see, there are some folks on the way home. They were on their way back to Emmaus. Going to a house, they were so distracted, so discouraged. They were walking together. There's folks on the way home. There are facts on the way home, what they were doing. But now look, thirdly, there's a friend on the way home. He came to them. The Bible said in verse 15, He simply drew near and went with them. Now their eyes were holding. They didn't know that this was the Lord at this time. They had no idea it was Him. That reminds me, when we're going through hard circumstances as a child of God, we're never by ourselves, but Jesus is always near. I wonder if the Lord come upon your circumstance, would you even know that it was the Lord that had come near? But anyway, He came to these troubled hearts and these clouded minds, and look what He does with them. I had a young man call me a few weeks ago, and he was dealing with a family that's just had a great tragic time in their life. And he said, Brother Ken, what do I do? I said, well, you know, the Scripture tells us what the Lord did. I want you to notice what He does when He came to this group of people. They were so discouraged. Things had not worked out how they had thought. And so He just lets them talk. The Bible said in verse 17, He said unto them, why are you so sad? In verse 18, one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said to Him, aren't thou only a stranger? And don't you know the things that has went on? And Jesus said, what things? And so they began to tell Him what was wrong. Verse 20, how the chief priests and rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been. You know what's happening? The Lord is letting them talk about what is wrong. And a lot of times when we're going to help grieving people, we don't have words to say. We just need to be there and let them talk. The best thing we can do when we go to try to help somebody who's really hurting, we really don't have the words to say and we don't have the answers, but it sure does help when we're there and they can just talk to us. You know, it does me good when I can sit by some of my brothers and sisters and just talk to them and they'll listen. You may think it's not important, but boy, when you begin to vent those things out of your heart and talk, you go to getting better. So I want to tell you today, be careful that you never walk to somebody in their situation and say, I know how you feel, because you don't know how they feel. You may have had similar experiences, but you really don't know how they feel. You just know how you felt. But what we ought to do is the way Jesus done, just let them talk. And He was there to listen. And can I tell you, Jesus is still there to listen today, because He's a friend on the way home. I like what the old writer said last night. Brother Mike, I got up out of my bed. I was listening to this sermon. And I had my earbuds in. I told Renee, I said, listen, don't say nothing to me. I can't hear you. I can hardly hear you without them in. Somebody say amen. Boy, this old preacher was a preaching. This is what he said about this text. He said, when the Lord drew near to them, they were so troubled in spirit, God did not reprimand them for what they were doing. He simply let them talk about their situation. This is what that old preacher said last night. He said, how patient our Lord is to listen to what He already knows. How patient the Lord is to already listen to what He already knows. In other words, He knows everything going on in our life. But yet He's so patient to let us tell it to Him again. There is a friend on the way home. I'm glad I'm not walking through this world by myself. I want to ask y'all something today in closing. There's many of us, we've reached a lot of great goals in our life. We've been pretty successful in this world's standards of that. We've accomplished things with family and jobs. But I want to ask you today, what are you going to do when you meet God and you don't have Christ? What are you going to do when you stand before the Lord? Because you're going to die. I'm going to die. And we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account. And let me ask you something. With all the things that you've obtained in this old world and all the goals you've accomplished, when you meet God, all of those are pushed to the side. And the only thing that's going to matter is have you trusted His Son, because He sent Him to Calvary to die for you. A lot of liberal preachers, they'll tell you there's not a hell anymore. God really didn't mean what He said. I come to tell you, God meant exactly what He said. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. We've got so many young people here today. And I heard a preacher preaching by way of tape this week. And he said, there was a young man, Brother Mark. He left a camp meeting one night. Brother Adam, he is only 16, 17 years old, and he got in a terrible wreck, and it killed him. He just left church. Can I tell you, I pray we have a great day of safety, but none of us know if we're going to get to our earthly home when we leave this building today or not. But it's something we all can know. We're all going to meet God. And we better be ready to meet Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He died for you. And so there's a friend on the way home. Now, look what He done. I'm done preaching. I'm glad there's fire on the way home. He left their house. He showed Himself to them. Miss Sherry, would you come this morning? He simply showed Himself to them, and as they knew Him, they said this, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, while He opened us the Scripture? And look what they did. They went right back to Jerusalem in a different way than how they came. Can I tell you, when the Lord will do something in your heart, you can go back down the road that you had your head hung down. You can go back in a different way. And oh, how we need that fire burning in our heart in this day and in this hour. You know, them little children today. I say this many weeks when I'm preaching. You know, I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor. But when I see this group of children, it's a few things I think about. I think about their environment, where they are, and I think about their parents. And then, Brother Mike, I get to thinking, when we leave out of this world, who's going to be here to have fire to preach to them about Jesus saves and Jesus loves them? Mom and daddies, wouldn't it be a blessing today if the Lord would just warm your heart up real good? Folks, we become so distracted in a society. Our cell phones have desensitized a generation of sin. They have advertised Hollywood. Let me tell you something. You die without Christ, hell will be your home. And you don't have to do that because He died for you. You know why He died for you? Because He loves you. Miss Sherry's going to come on this Easter morning. I know people are so distracted. You're thinking about, man, preacher, I wish you'd hurry up. We got somewhere to get. Let me tell you something a lot more important. We ought to cover this altar up this morning, Mom and Daddy's saying, Lord, there is a lot of things I don't understand. Lord, I do have a clouded mind and a cold heart, and I wish You would put a fire back in my soul. Some of you need a fire to be concerned about yourself and where you're headed. Some of us need a fire to burn again for our church, our loved ones, our family. This morning, I stilled away in my study and I prayed. I've got a family member back home in Tennessee. It means the world to me. Brother Adam, I prayed. Said, God, if he's not saved, would You maybe let a preacher say something today that opened up his heart? Now, I want to tell you this morning, the Lord loves you. He come and died for you. And I'm thankful we've got this friend on the way home. They didn't even know it was him. And some of their darkest hours, they had no idea it was the Lord. But can I tell you, He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I'll be in the midst. I'm thankful that the Lord cares about us. You may be here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. I don't know of a better morning to ask the Lord to come in your life, forgive you of your sins, save you eternally. Young families, I'm so thankful for you, the way you'd bring your children. I'm so thankful to you. And you need each other, and you need the Lord. God has blessed you so. Whatever you need this morning, I wonder, would you come?